the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Well, hello.
Good morning. He's tuning his throat to the truth.
I was right when you said that. And it's like, I got to learn how to ride this bike. Sorry about that, guys.
Good morning, guys.
Give you an on-off switch on your mic is what we need
like
to
that,
do.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
But my throat is clear now, so
it is,
proceed.
That's good.
And so is our vision as we offer up our prayer today to St. Mark. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O glorious St. Mark, through the grace of God, our Father, you became a great evangelist, preaching the good news of Christ. May you help us to know him well, so that we may faithfully live our lives as followers of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Mark, pray for us. Yeah, what a good one.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. Well, we have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about in 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, Father Braxton Niekase joins us. He is the Associate Director of Vocations of the Diocese of Biloxi, and today we're going to be talking about the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. In 35 minutes, Steve Ray joins us, Catholic convert and pilgrimage leader, and today he's going to be talking about our saint of the day, St. Mark. And in 48 minutes, Tom Costanza joins us. He is the executive director of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops, and we're going to be discussing Faithful Citizenship Day at the Capitol for Catholics. So looking forward to today's show. And fun fact, today is World Penguin Day.
Well,
so
of course
it is. So if you have your favorite penguin, then you can think
about
that.
I would have worn white to go along with my black.
I would have worn my tux.
I love penguins.
Yes. Yeah, you could. That's true.
I'll have sardines for lunch. And yes, looking, and I'll put up my tree. So
going to
that,
a cold room.
Sneaks up on me every year.
National Penguin Day.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I always forget about that one. So.
Well,
poor penguins.
I can't. Weather-wise, it's not necessarily ideal for penguins, but it is for South
segue.
Louisianians, right. I will say that. Mm-hmm. Today will be a lot like it has been for the last 2 days. A little breezy and cloudy mixed with sun. So, again, on again, off again, sunshine. High 79, low right around 61. Only a 15% chance of rain today. Tomorrow, the start of the day will be partly cloudy with rain chances increasing as the day goes on. By the afternoon, we have about a 40% chance someone's going to get wet in our area. And then come Thursday, that's when we'll get the thunderstorms. 90% chance of rain. But that should make way for a nice weekend. Let's hope so anyway.
Yeah.
Temperatures in and around the area right now, 56 degrees in Baton Rouge as well as in Gulfport, Mississippi. In Covington, it's 55. Home at Thibodeau, it's 60. And in New Orleans, it's 62 degrees. So get out and enjoy and make the most of the day before the rain gets here in the next 24 to 36 hours.
Not coming really till tomorrow. Afternoon or evening?
Tomorrow afternoon is what they expect.
All right. Then you're going to have it out here by the weekend.
Yep.
Okay. It's all on you.
Yeah.
No pressure.
You know, LSU and all the other teams need to get those games in before the SEC tournament. So,
and the temperatures are going to, they have been ideal.
Yeah.
They have been fantastic.
So, I think so.
I love this time of year because it's perfect.
Yeah. You know, and what they say is what? April showers bring May flowers. You got to have May flowers,
not
right?
The way I garden,
brighten
but
things
yes.
up.
Yes.
All
oh,
right.
No.
So don't go too far. We have the gospel coming your way, and we have a number of events you're going to want to be made aware of, and we're going to do just that as Wake Up continues 5 after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, and a blessed feast of St. Mark, who is an evangelist. Our gospel today comes from Mark chapter 16. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
When the 11 apostles were gathered together, Jesus reprimands them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. This rebuke applies to all his followers, because believing the testimony of the resurrection is the distinguishing mark of a Christian. The apostles were called to proclaim, "He is risen and alive, we have seen him." The amazing reality is Jesus did not invalidate the apostles' commission because of their many limitations. In surrendering to the action of the Holy Spirit, they will become transformed into the stuff from which martyrs and great saints are made. The same is true for the mission Jesus has for each one of us. Jesus commands his followers, "Proclaim the gospel to every creature." The good news is no longer limited to God's chosen people, as it had been during Jesus' earthly life. It is now destined for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. Jesus declared, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Faith alone is not enough. One's faith must be expressed and ratified with baptism, an action by God by which the believer is united with Christ in his death and resurrection and incorporated into the church. Baptism is the gateway into eternal life for the removal of our sins. On Pentecost, Peter declared, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Ananias said to Paul, "Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And as a result, St. Paul would write, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. It is almost 11 after the hour on this Tuesday morning. So glad you could join us. Damian Colano, along with Gabby Smith and David Dawson, here to share with you some events that are taking place in and around the area. In New Orleans in particular, the 8-part series, The Meaning of Music, Exploring the Gift of Music in the Life of Faith, it will begin tomorrow night. And that's April 26th, if you're looking at your calendar, at 7 o'clock at Notre Dame Seminary. It's free to attend, but you do have to RSVP. You'll see interviews from Bishop Robert Barron and also Stephen Curtis Chapman, along with many others. And it's a 2-year-in-the-making production by Vigil Project. For more information, just go to ccmedia.live, and you'll be able to see how to register and RSVP for that event. And it's going to be a good one, because
The Vigil Project gets behind anything. It's good.
They've spent a lot of time developing this 8-part series. So
They're really, really good. What a gift they are. The Pro-Life Youth Retreat, sponsored by North Shore Pulse, will be this Saturday, April 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at St. Scholastica Academy. It's for 8th graders to those in college. To register, go to ccmedia.live under and look under the events, or pro-lifepulsela.com. pro-life. Well, I'll it's go to CC Media.
That's just for our benefit.
But if I said LA, there would be a dash.
You're starting to get like our president. You know, that was not for us to read.
Go to W. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just go to our website. You'll find it.
All of these events are on ccmedia.live on our events calendar.
You,
well, this one is a wonderful event that has helped so many people. The beginning experience of New Orleans Weekend Retreat is going on this weekend, April 28th through the 30th at the Cynical on the Lake in Metairie, a retreat to offer hope and healing for those who lost their marriage through death, separation, or divorce. For more information, including registration fees, you can go to ccmedia.live. I know so many people are going through this right now, separation and divorce. You know, we know a handful of them currently that are close to us. So don't be afraid to talk to someone, even if you have a support group or don't have a support group, someone to pray with you. You are not in this alone, and there is hope. So do not fear. This retreat has helped so many people. So definitely check this out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the 18th annual Our Lady of the Lake Men's Golf Club's golf tournament is coming up. That's right. That's in honor of Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church on the North Shore in Mandeville. It's our annual event and fundraiser. It's going to be Friday, not this Friday, next Friday, May 5th. And it's at 11 o'clock, shotgun start, four-man ball scramble, and it's at the Covington Country Club. Ooh. All are invited to play, men and women, even though it's for the men's club. And there's going to be 18 holes of golf and includes your cart, lunch before and after tee off, and drinks, and a whole lot of other prizes. It's $150 a person or $600 per team, and that includes four golfers. So it's a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. You can get out there and have a lot of fun. And as I said, there's going to be a lot of food. It's at the Covington Country Club. If you want more information, go to ccmedia.live, and you'll see how to register and everything else.
Most definitely. Well, Advent at Sea is coming up. You can join Father Chris Decker for December 2023, a four-night Western Caribbean cruise departing from New Orleans, December 7th through the 11th. To secure your cabin and find out more information, also they have the cruise itinerary on there. You can go to ccmedia.live. It's right there on our homepage.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's Our Lady of Guadalupe. When is that? It's around that feast day.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it should be
sounds
a good cruise.
Perfect timing.
If you haven't signed up, take a look and check your calendar. It'd be a great way to celebrate Advent. Also, don't forget, St. Mark is the patron saint from insect bites, i.e. mosquitoes.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
More on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 25th. Today we celebrate St. Mark. As familiar as we are with St. Mark through his gospel, many details of his life are uncertain. We do know that Mark is the writer of the oldest and the shortest of the four gospels. Mark's account emphasizes Jesus' rejection by humanity while being God's triumphant envoy. His gospel was probably written for Gentile converts in Rome sometime between 60 and 70 AD. We cannot be certain that Mark knew Jesus personally, but we do know that he was not one of Jesus' disciples. In the New Testament, a disciple named Mark accompanies Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but for some reason he seems to have returned alone to Jerusalem. It's speculated that Mark somehow displeased Paul, but later Mark visits Paul in prison and comforts his old friend. Peter appears to have been a steadfast friend of Mark's, even referring to him as my son in one of his letters, presumably meaning a son in faith. Some think that Peter was an important source of information for Mark's gospel. Another tradition holds that Mark was the first bishop of Alexandria, Egypt, which may be where he was martyred. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Our first guest today is Father Braxton Nicase. Father Braxton is the Associate Director of Vocations of the Diocese of Biloxi, and today he joins us to talk about the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which is actually coming up on April 30th. Good morning, Father Braxton. Thank you for being with us on Wake Up.
Good morning, Gabby. Good morning, everyone. It's a true honor to be with you guys this morning as we come together. You know, we're going to be celebrating this coming Sunday, the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, and what a great thing it is to celebrate. You know, I don't know if you guys know this. We have 5 seminarians here in the Diocese of Biloxi. And about a year ago, one of our initiatives from the Vocations Office, we partnered with, we sent letters out to about 33 different Carmelite monasteries, asking them to pray for our guys and pray for our diocesan initiatives. And I can say that we're beginning to see the fruits of that. And so there's like truly this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, here in the Diocese of Biloxi. And so this is an opportunity for us as lay Catholics, as Catholics as a whole, to come together and to really pray for an increase in vocation. And, you know, one of the things that we are working on here in the Diocese of Biloxi is we actually have partnered with Vocation Ministry out of Houston, Texas. I don't know if you're familiar with Rhonda Gruenwald. She actually wrote the book, Hundredfold, A Guide to Parish Vocation Ministry. So this past weekend, we actually had about 94 people at one of our parishes here in the diocese who came and really spent the day like learning what does it look like to start a parish vocation ministry. And you know, we hear the word vocation, and what do we immediately think? We think priesthood. But you know, it's not just priesthood. You know, we want young ladies to answer that call to the religious life. We want to make sure that we're having, you know, holy married couples. And so we are trying to implement these vocation ministries in all of our parishes. And so, you know, as part of that plan, we are beginning and implementing within the next year deanery holy hours for vocations to where we can, as an office of vocations, go to each of our deaneries. We have 5 deaneries in the Diocese of Biloxi, and literally have holy hours specifically for vocations that we're going to be doing at particular churches. We just finished our first ever, you know, last time I talked to you guys a few months back, we were rolling out our discernment groups, and we just completed our very first ever Priesthood 101 discernment group here at St. Thomas Aquinas in Hattiesburg. Y'all, I had 6 college men who like gave up an hour a week to come and discern priesthood. Yeah, it was beautiful. And so actually we're going axe throwing, I think, tomorrow night. So it's going to be super, super cool, you know,
part of the discernment process, okay.
It's really, you know, it's all about community. I've got currently about 3 men in the application process right now. And so, you know, we're just looking forward to this, you know, the Lord doing what the Lord does.
That's beautiful.
Well, and you're absolutely right with it's all about community. You know, I went to LSU and was involved in Christ the King, and a lot of guys who went to LSU really heavily discerned the priesthood through community over at Christ the King. Is that, do you closely work with students over at the University of Southern Mississippi, since you are in Hattiesburg, and kind of work with that community and see if they maybe can discern that part of their life?
Actually, so that's really great. That's a great question, Gabby. And the reason that I say that is because we currently have 4 focus missionaries here at the University of Southern Mississippi. 14 Bible studies going on, guys. 10 of those Bible studies are actually led by our students. And so this year, we have had the opportunity to walk in faith with about 176, 174 students. And so really one of my missions is like, you know, and I told the focus missionaries when I got here to Hattiesburg, I was like, y'all, like, this is a priority for me, you know, walking with people, especially our young people, our students in faith. And so it's a joy. It's an honor to do that. It's a privilege. And, you know, so that's one of my very clear missions, you know, when I came up here, as Bishop Kinnaman assigned me up here, you know, make sure that you're walking with our young people, encouraging them to be open to vocations. And, you know, I would even go so far as to say, you know, anyone in the listening area, you know, making sure that, you know, when you're looking at and discerning colleges, like literally being open to what colleges is there opportunities for you to grow in faith, because that is huge. And it's such a beautiful thing to see our young people growing in faith, especially in college, you know, which is, which can historically be a time when young people, you know, fall away from faith, but to see them take that on as their own, what a beautiful gift that is.
Absolutely. No, most definitely. So, Father Braxton, let's take it back to the parishes, because a lot of parishes are being stretched thin, and I really didn't realize that until I had a conversation 101 with my pastor about this. You know, we have volunteers that go, and they're part of the Altar Society, or we have the Knights of Columbus, or the Ladies Auxiliary, a lot of volunteers who dedicate their time to parish life. So how can parishes, or what can they do to get started to really foster maybe a holy hour for vocations, or really foster praying for vocations as a community?
That's a good question. So what I would say is, you know, as parish ministries, what you can do is you can partner with the vocations office. That's one thing that we just literally, you know, I stood up on Saturday and I said, y'all, I want to be your partner. I want to help you to do exactly what you need to be successful, because we can't do this alone. And so, you know, little things like being intentional about, you know, if there's little sacrifices that you are doing in your parish ministry, let me offer that up for vocations. You know, intentionality goes so incredibly far, especially when it comes to prayer. And so, you know, just being intentional, but also having that be on the forefront and changing that, having like that paradigm shift that vocations are really important. And not only that vocations are important, but, you know, that we're going to change the culture to be more fruitful in terms of vocations. And so by also speaking those gifts and seeing, you know, if you see a young person who may possess gifts that you could see, wow, you would be an amazing priest one day, you know, or have you ever considered going to and joining the religious life? You know, speaking those things when we see those, I think that's incredibly important. And it's something that we are all called to do.
Most definitely.
You always hear those stories about these guys, these priests and such, and they were approached by somebody who said years ago, you'd make a good priest, and they always have the same reaction. And I laughed and went on with my life, but that stuck with them. It stuck with them, and they stayed with it. And so seeds can be planted, right?
Absolutely, and that's what we're called to do, each and every one of us. That's a good yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's so important, especially in the Diocese of Biloxi. We're getting into the warmer times where people are going to the coast to go on vacation, and they're seeing the beautiful churches, walking into the beautiful churches that are in the Diocese of Biloxi and seeing the parish life there. So, Father Braxton, where can people go to maybe learn more about vocation ministry? Because we have talked to Rhonda, I think it was last week, about this as well. So really trying to promote this as much as we can on our end. Where can parishes go to maybe get started? Do they contact you in the diocese?
So if our parishes, they can contact me. Go to /vocations. Rhonda has a phenomenal website, vocationministry.com. And her book, Hundredfold, was a great resource. And in fact, I literally, one of the things that we did is we said, we're buying every one of the parishes who wants to participate in this, the workbook and the workbook and the book. And so having them reach out to us, you know, and letting us know, hey, we want to be a partner. And we are so incredibly open to that, you know, our vocations team. We're open to walking with parishes so that they can begin this process.
And I think a lot of people also don't realize that having those books in the back of Mass have brought a lot of conversions and a deeper relationship with our faith as well. I've heard so many people realize, oh, I just picked up the book in the back of Mass, or, you know, the person gave me the book in the back of Mass and I opened it up and didn't realize that I was missing this part of my life. So that is so helpful, Father Braxton. BiloxiDiocese.org is where you can go. Before we let you go, we have about a minute left. May we ask for a priestly blessing from you?
Absolutely. It would be my honor. And so I ask Almighty God to bless each and every one of you, each and every one of you who are here listening live, each and every one of you who will listen to this broadcast in the future. May Almighty God bless each and every one of you. May he keep you. May he let his face shine upon you. And I ask Almighty God to bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Father Braxton, for being with us today.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great day now.
You too. Father Braxton Nikes, Associate Director of Vocations of the Diocese of Biloxi. Again, BiloxiDiocese.org is where you can go and find out more information. But the World Day of Prayer for Vocations is April 30th. That's this Sunday. So whenever we go to church this Sunday, Mass this Sunday, we can pray for vocations especially. So
absolutely. That's a need.
Seminarians. And yeah, keep them all in mind.
We need this. Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. Steve Ray joins us. When we return from the break, we will learn more about our saint of the day, Saint Mark. Stay with us. It is 1:30 on Wake Up.
Thirty-five past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson with Damian Collado, Gabby Smith. And we're welcoming back. I feel like a family member to the morning show. Steve Ray, welcome.
Good morning, David. Good to be with you. Just a little early message here. I just had my knees replaced, so you're one of the first radio shows I'm doing since I'm back in the chair.
Wow. So we're talking a guy. If folks don't know, we're talking a guy who goes to the Holy Land. I don't know how many times a year you would traverse thousands of miles. So apparently your knees just finally gave out, right?
Well, they're getting worse and worse, and I knew it was going to hinder me leading pilgrimages and doing what I do. So I finally bit the bullet and got both knees done at once. The doctor said they never do that, but they did it for me. So I'm 2.5 weeks into it. When it first did it, I had no idea what hit me, and I thought this was a big mistake.
My goodness.
But now I'm over the worst of it, and I'm doing the rehab, and it's going to take a couple months, but I'm going to be back running and leading groups. My son had a fun thing. He put a picture of me with my walker.
You were on a walker. You had your hat on, and you were on a walker. I saw that on an email that I got from y'all.
We had over 200 people come up with a caption for it. One of them says, "Quick, follow me. We're going to cut the line."
Yeah,
because you know, handicapped people get to go. But anyway, we're making the best of it. And you're one of the first radio shows I've been doing since I'm back. Kind of up on my feet again a little.
Right. I love reading your analysis of everything, because you go a little bit deeper than most folks do. And today is the feast day of Saint Mark, and you're going to talk about that. Now I'm fascinated. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about our Saint Mark.
Well, Saint Mark it doesn't describe him a lot. We don't hear a lot about him, but
right.
he's peppered through the whole New Testament, and thanks to him, we have one of the four Gospels. He was not an apostle,
right?
But he wrote Peter's apostle. That he wrote Peter's story from Rome. So when we're reading the book of Mark, we're reading Peter's account of the gospel.
Oh, okay. So he pretty much took dictation, would you say?
Yeah, the word is amanuensis.
Okay,
that's a fancy word for a scribe.
All right,
and from what we learned from the early writings of the church, you know, especially a book called Eusebius, mm-hmm. the history of the church. If people haven't read Eusebius, he wrote it in 325 AD. Mm-hmm. It was the first church history beyond the book of Acts.
Right.
And he collects all the traditions and the stories before the New Testament is even collected into a book. And he tells about all these people. Mark was in Rome with Peter, and before Peter was martyred in 67 AD.
Okay.
The people said, "Mark, Peter," he said, we want what you're teaching," because Peter didn't write it down. It said that the apostles were more interested in teaching and preaching than they were in writing.
Right.
So Mark decided to write down Peter's gospel. He'd have been hearing it, you know, because he's hearing Peter's preach all over and tell the story. So he probably sat down and says, "Peter, we got to get this on paper or on parchment, I should say." They didn't have paper until the 16th century.
Yeah.
So we got to get this down on parchment so that future generations can read it. And thank goodness, because if they didn't, we wouldn't be on Community Catholic Radio today reading Mark's gospel and knowing it, because it wouldn't have been done. So Peter approved, and Mark then wrote that gospel. Whether he wrote it from what he heard Peter say, or whether Peter sat with him and talked. An interesting example of that is the book of Romans. Who wrote the book of Romans? Paul. No, he didn't. It says in Romans chapter 16, I, Tertius, wrote
right.
this letter.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean? Who wrote it, Paul or Tertius?
Right.
Well, Tertius was the amanuensis who, with his quill in his hand and a little ink, you know, dabbing the ink and writing. Can you imagine him trying to keep up with Paul when Paul's dictating the book of Romans? His beard is wagging and he's going in six directions at a time. And that's what Mark did with Peter. He wrote down Peter's gospel, and right after that, Peter was martyred in Rome.
Was Mark, was he only with St. Peter? Did he do anything after that?
Yes.
Okay.
Give a little story here. Mark, his mother's name was Mary. And that is, they had the first Dominus Ecclesia. They didn't have church buildings back then. They mm-hmm. couldn't build them until Christianity became legal in the 300s. So they met in homes. And his mother's name was Mary. And they met in her house. That's where the Christians gathered to pray. Probably that's where the upper room was. Mm-hmm. They probably, Mark, who is, full name, by the way, is John Mark. He has a Roman name and a Jewish name.
Okay.
They
John
had
Mark.
A house that was big enough for a bunch of people to gather in. So the Christians came and they gathered in Mary's house, whose son was Mark. And so Paul was now going out on his first missionary journey up into what's today Turkey. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 13. It says, the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. And he sent them out. Okay. That's the word apostle, by the way. And they took John Mark with them. Mark went with them on Paul's first journey. But Mark left them in the middle of the journey. And Paul was not happy about that. So when they're starting out on their second journey, Barnabas, he was a cousin of Mark, by the way. They were cousins.
Okay.
Barnabas says, we'll get Mark to go with us again. And Paul says, no, we won't. He abandoned us the first time. Why would we take him the second time? So there was a great dissension among them. Now, that's interesting because, you know, when we talk about saints, you very seldom bring out the problems that they have.
Right.
This was one. There was a great dissension. The Holy Spirit had called them together, but now they split apart with a great dissension, an argument, a verbal combat, you know. So Barnabas leaves with Mark, and Paul leaves with Silas. But we find out later that there's a reconciliation, because later Paul says, bring to me Mark. He's of great service to me. Please bring him to me. Get Mark and bring him to me, he writes to Timothy.
What did Mark have to say about
also
that?
and then later we see that he's with Peter in Rome. So Mark reconciled. There was a reconciliation. Okay. I'm sure Mark said, hey, I'm really sorry for abandoning you guys. Give me a second chance. So towards the end, we see him very busy working both with Paul and with Peter.
So you have Mark leaving, then you have Barnabas leaving. There's a trend here. Was Paul hard to get along with? He sounds pretty feisty.
Well, there's one story that I love. I think it's in Acts chapter 20, and Paul arrives in Troas. And he meets the believers there, and they're on the third floor. Mm-hmm. And they have the candles lit, and he's teaching all night. And finally, this poor guy named Eutychus, who's sitting on the windowsill, falls asleep like any normal person would, falls out the window down three stories and hits the pavement below.
Oh.
It's assumed that he's dead. Paul goes down, lays on top of him, and says, oh, Lord, heal him. And Eutychus comes back alive. They go back up to the room, and it says, Paul continued to teach until morning, and then him and his people took off for the next city. Now, there you got him going without sleeping all night, teaching all night, and imagine, David, you're one of his followers. You're going to, hey, when are we going to sleep, you know, and I haven't had anything to eat for a while now,
right.
And you want us to go walking another day now? So I think Paul would have been very hard to keep up with.
Yes.
I think that those like Luke and Timothy, who are with him all the way to the end, not only were they faithful fellow workers, but these were tough, manly men.
That's right. That's right. You fall out. You fall out a roof three stories down. You come back to life. Let's go. We got walking to do. Yeah, that's quite the regiment there. Well, look. While I have you on, and we don't have much time left, but I want to talk about. I know your knees. I know you're on a walker right now, but I know you got plans for the future, and you always have amazing things coming up. You want to talk about that?
We do. First of all, my book on Genesis is in the final stages of printing, publishing. It's going to be called Genesis, A Bible Study Guide and Commentary. It's 500 pages.
Oh, wow.
And even the editor said at Ignatius Press, I had a hard time editing your book because I was so engrossed in reading it. I had to keep, oh, I have to go back and check for the grammar. So it reads like a novel, but it brings out all, it's a fun book to read, I think.
Okay.
It's a commentary, Catholic commentary in Genesis. Also, we've got coming up, we're going to Poland in August. So I have to get my knees all back.
I'm
exercising like crazy because August 1st, we're going to Poland. We need a few more people to sign up, by the way, but it's getting full. Four more trips to Israel this year.
Okay.
And the next year we have Holy Land Part 2. We're going to see all new places. We've got Jordan in Israel.
Real quick, what's your website, Steve? What's your website they can go to?
CatholicConvert.com. Go to CatholicConvert.com. Everything is there.
Steve Ray, thank you. Thank you for joining us again. Looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you, David.
All right. God bless. It is 44 past the hour. We're going to be back with Damian Collada talking to Tom Costanza. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up, 12 minutes before the top of the hour. We're tuning your heart to the truth. And with us now, Tom Costanza, Executive Director of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. And he's here to chat with us about what is called Faithful Citizenship Day at the Capitol. And it's for Catholics, and it's coming up. Good morning, Tom, and glad to have you.
Well, good morning. Thanks so much for giving me a brief opportunity to talk about Faithful Citizenship Day at the Capitol coming up this coming May 3rd, next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And purpose is to educate and engage Catholics in our rich Catholic social teaching and how we're applying it to current legislation and to meet with some of the legislators. We have many Catholic legislators at the Capitol. So that's the general purpose of it.
We have been blessed in that regard, and they stay true to the faith for the most part. Share with us, though, before we get started, how can someone who's listening, how do they sign up and attend, and where are you guys going to meet prior to going to the Capitol?
Yes. So they can sign up by going to our website, which is www.laccb.org, and under Take Action, you click Take Action, and then you see the Faithful Citizenship tag button, and you can register there.
Okay.
And so it's just go to our website, www.laccb.org, hit Take Action, and then you can register.
And you're going to be
there.
Meeting at the St. Joseph Cathedral Parish Hall, which is right next to the church. That's at, 8:45 in the morning. You're going to, first of all, meet there.
Yeah.
And you kind of get things warmed up, don't you?
Yeah, we get some coffee and a little refreshments, and then we pray. And because prayer is integral to what we're doing, and also Mass is. So we will meet, gather at the cathedral, which is very well located close to the Capitol and convenient in the parish hall there, do a brief orientation in Catholic social teaching and how it's applied to some of our current legislation. Then I'll divide the group up into committees, and there's going to be education committee, criminal justice committee, health and welfare, and we'll go ahead and get them engaged in the committee process. We'll return for Mass at 11:45, and then we're going to have some legislators come visit with us and have a light lunch and talk a little bit about their faith and public life and how their faith is integrated into their public life. Then we'll go back to listen to debates in the chambers, then come back around 3:30. So
gotcha.
It's a full day.
It's a full day. So what are some of the bills that you have been looking at, addressing with the legislature, and are of concern for you for this this particular year?
I think just to preface that, on our website, you'll also have the principles and priorities. The bishop set some principles and priorities for this current session. And then we have also the positions we're taking on certain bills. So just as a reference, not only can you sign up there for the Papal Citizenship Day, you can look at what the positions are and also register for all our action alerts. I've sent out every week, I'll update what happened at the Capitol from our priorities. So, you know, going into this session, one of the main priorities since Roe v. Wade was overturned was to help pregnant moms, right? I mean, that's going to be a very important mission for us. So there's bills to improve maternal care that we're looking to support. Senator Biesel's SB 41 is there. Certainly we want to, you know, human trafficking is still a critical issue for us. And, you know, we have some bills to improve that. We want to end the use of death penalty. You know, we've been consistent to try to abolish the death penalty. We're determined to end it. So we're going to be testifying actually tomorrow on that.
Are you really? And
yes. We testify on several bills. I've already testified. Another critical area for us is the option for the poor and vulnerable. We, and you probably know, we ranked last in the whole nation in economic well-being for families, 50th. And it doesn't have to be that way. So we're gonna address the minimum wage bill. We're gonna address a earned income tax credit for people who are working. So we're gonna go hard on the fact that we have a wonderful state, but so many of our citizens are living in poverty that it's a moral imperative to address that. And, you know, the child welfare services are important for us. You may have heard some of the issues the child welfare agencies are having. So we're trying to develop some legislation to improve that. A big area will be parental choice. There's going to be a lot of debate about, you know, parental choice in education. And so I think that's going to start today. So you may be hearing a lot about that. Certainly want to maintain our criminal justice reforms. We have been fortunate to be able to help men and women return from prison and reintegrate back into their lives, and we want to make sure those reforms stay in place. And finally, our environment. You know, we have some critical issues for our environment in Louisiana. So we're trying to continue to improve our air and water quality. As you know, disasters are hitting us, and we're trying to make sure we can mitigate that. There's some legislation about better roofing and, you know, trying to speed up recovery after disasters. So, you know, all of that is within the framework of our principles of Catholic social teaching. So we have a real strong body of social doctrine that informs us, and that's really our guiding. That's what our light is. So, that's a quick overview.
Well, it's a good overview, too, because I believe a lot of folks aren't aware of the work that you guys do in representing Louisiana and our Catholic faith and the bishops. So if they want to learn more, again, let's give them where they can RSVP and sign up for the event for next Wednesday.
Everything will be on www.lacb.org, and then you can register for the event as well as sign up for the weekly action alerts. And you know, I just sent out one on the death penalty. And it's a pretty easy thing to do. If you just put in your email and zip code, we write the little script, and then it defaults to your representative. So if you don't know who it is or your senator, it'll already pop it up for you, and you just hit click, and it'll go right to them.
So, Tom,
There it is.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Tom Costanza, Executive Director of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. And we have all that information also for you at ccmedia.live. You can go there as well any time of the day, and you'll be able to locate that information and sign up for the event. Thank you for being with us. And thank you all for listening today. We'll wrap up with another prayer to St. Mark. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who raised up St. Mark, your evangelist, and endowed him with the grace to preach the gospel, grant, we pray, that we may so profit from his teaching as to follow faithfully in the footsteps of Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow with Johnny Aber's Gospel Reflection, Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald, Lena Prejean with St. John the Baptist Women's Ministry in Brule, and Mary Beth Bracey with Sophia Institute Press. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.